At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Mylo's Rewards or a Mylo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
That's me. 8:07 on WCCO. I am Laura Oakes, and we are so happy to be joined in studio today by Julie Weisenhorn for Smart Gardens. Thanks for coming in, Julie.
Yeah, you bet, Laura. It's great to meet you and see you face to face.
You
heard
too.
You on the air.
Yes.
Awesome.
And you have been with Smart Gardens since the very beginning, back with Denny, when this whole thing started, right?
Right, yeah. 13 years and counting, so
nice.
That's great.
And you know what you're talking about. Retired extension educator at the U. And you've helped create a lot of beautiful things out at our beautiful Arboretum. And I wanted to bring that up, first of all, before we get to your questions and calls for Julie. She was part of the creation of a very cool thing out at the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum in Chanhassen. And Julie, it's called Foodscape at the Farm. Tell me what that is.
So foodscaping is kind of a different term than edible landscaping.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, food, edible, that they're all the same. And a foodscape is a very intentional planting using different kinds of edible plants, all different levels. So the sap, the root, the stems, the bark, the flowers, the leaves, the fruit, nuts, etc. And being very intentional in planting those and then following good design guidelines. So unity and flow and rhythm and simplicity and variety and all these different things that we want to incorporate and making it a really manageable landscape as well, too. So you're looking at the beauty of the plant as well as the edibility of the plant and how it can be used from a food standpoint.
And I think for many people with their own gardens who try to make beautiful gardens like you can, it's hard to know how to properly design it. Like, of course, you need to know where the sun's going to hit and how things are going to look next to each other. But talk to me a little bit about just basic garden design for somebody who's never really done their own thing.
Well, I think the first thing to think about is what your ultimate end goal is with your garden. And think of a lot about maintenance. So we oftentimes get super enthusiastic at garden centers. I know I do. And pull it, get a plant and then try to fit it in somewhere and realize it's too large for the space. It's killing my grass. I can't mow my lawn. It's growing into the building. It's covering up a walk. So you really want to think about the maintenance part of the landscape too. And then also, as you mentioned, really understanding the conditions of your site. The one principle that I would say if you think about nothing else with design is unity.
Mm-hmm.
And unity is really easy to accomplish in a home landscape and a commercial landscape too by simply replicating plants or plants that have similar characteristics like a grass or a yellow flower or a ground cover of a certain type and replicating that throughout the landscape. And that helps to create in our human visual eye of sense of unity as you walk through that landscape. So, for example, sedum is a really common plant that we all grow. A lot of people grow in their yards. And it's easy to propagate. You can divide it. You can pull out little divisions of it. And you can move that around different parts of your landscape. And you can use that to help create a sense of unity within your landscape. So that's just a small example.
Yeah, kind of like home design and how things go together inside your house.
Perfect.
And how some people just kind of have a knack for knowing where to put stuff and why it looks good together.
Yeah, different colors or different, if you like Italian design or if you like Mexican. And you replicate some of that throughout your house.
Yeah,
same thing.
Great. If you have a question for our gardening expert, Julie Weisenhorn, please call us or text us 651-461-9226. We do have a few texts already, Julie. Here is a couple that have to do with moving things in your yard. I need to move my beautiful large ferns because of construction. Can I pot them and bring them inside, or is it best to replant them outside?
Well, if they're outside ferns, then it's best to plant them outside. So what I'd recommend is deciding where you're going to move them, dig the space up, get the soil ready for them, and then do your transplanting. And that's during construction, that's something that oftentimes happens. Remember, too, that if next year you say, well, now the construction's done, I want to move them somewhere else, you sure can do that as well.
Ferns are pretty portable. You're not going to wreck them. Are they kind of like hostas where you
can't
really
good. Yeah, it depends on the type. If it's an ostrich fern, those are really tough plants, easy to move around.
Okay, good. Another moving question. Somebody needs to move 5 hydrangeas because the deer are eating them down to the ground. When is the best time to move them?
Those would be best moved during the spring before they leaf out. Mm. But if you have to move them now, again, prepare the site that you're going to move them to, and then dig them up. Get as big a root ball as you can around those roots. Hydrangeas, if it's a large plant, is going to be pretty tricky. So you might want to gather some friends together to help you with that and then move those over. When you get those plants that you've moved in place, then be sure to give them a little extra care. So water them if we're not getting rain. Mulch the base of the plants to help hold in moisture and protect the roots. And just kind of pay attention to them a little bit more than maybe you would in previous years.
Are they stressed? Do they get stressed when you move them around?
Yeah. Transplant is stressful. Mm-hmm. Just like when we move, it's stressful. It's the same with plants. And they have to have time to reestablish their roots. So they should get pretty well established before winter. You don't want to move plants really too much later in the season because they don't have time to reestablish their roots. Spring is the best, but this is pretty early in the season yet.
Yeah.
You can probably still do that.
Good. Another texter, I have just dug out a bunch of creeping bellflower underneath a series of spireas. It's now bare dirt there. What would be a good native ground cover plant for underneath those spireas?
Sedges are great for undercover, for living mulch, we call them.
Okay.
So a sedge is like a grassy plant. They're shorter. There's a lot of different kinds. They grow well in a shady condition. And so they would probably be a good ground cover under there also. You might also just consider right now to put mulch down because I think you're probably going to find more bellflower there. That's really tough to get rid of. Even if you think you've dug every single piece up, you may find more. And it might be easier to just mulch it now and really work on eradicating that bellflower from that area before you go out and spend money and put down another plant there.
Is bellflower more like a weed and has a purple flower on it and they're kind of tall, usually back by alleys and spots where you don't want them.
Yeah. And they put out a ton of seed in their flower and their seed heads after they flower. And then they also have really wicked kind of elastic type roots that spread like crazy. And they're somewhat resistant to some of the herbicides. So you really have to dig them out and pay attention if you start to get them and get them out of there quick.
Yeah. What about our old friend Creeping Charlie?
Oh, yeah. So
another spreader.
I think he's taken a backseat to bellflower
these
days. Yeah.
Wow.
There are actually signs that people have put up about keeping bellflower, like get rid of the creeping bellflower.
Mm.
And I don't think there's any about Creeping Charlie. But both of them have a lot of similar characteristics. They're perennials. They flower. They attract pollinators. They also seed. And they really spread amazingly fast.
Kind of a conundrum, though, because we want our pollinators to have somewhere to go. So you feel bad yanking out, you know, flowers, even weeds that attract them.
Right. So I did read some research from James Wolfen, who is with Twin City Seed, and he was a graduate student at the University of Minnesota in entomology. And he studied the pollinator benefits of Creeping Charlie and found that most of the flowers have very little benefit to the bees. So while you see them really all over those masses, most of it is because bees have a tendency, it's called constancy, to really feed on the same plant for a long time until they gather as much as they can and then move on. And so they're looking at all these different creeping Charlie flowers thinking, hey, you know, there's got to be something here. And but there really isn't. It's not really a great plant for pollinators. Creeping bellflower, on the other hand, I think has more benefits to them. But mm-hmm. we still don't. It's going to take over all those other native plants that are really important and other beneficial plants in the landscape.
Okay. We have a lot of questions coming into our text line for Julie, and you can join the list as well, 651-461-9226. When we come back, we're going to talk about phlox. We're going to talk about landscape fabric around hostas. We're going to talk about the best time to trim your yews. More questions for Julie Weisenhorn, our extension educator from the University of Minnesota, after this. It is 8:20 on WCCO Radio. I'm Laura Oakes. We are back with Smart Gardens and our expert retired University of Minnesota extension educator, Julie Weisenhorn, answering your questions this morning. If you have a call or a text for Julie, the number is the same, 651-461-9226. And we have Judy on the line from Maplewood this morning. Judy, what's your question?
Oh, I have a mystery, and I don't even know. I've talked to several people on this. This is what's happening. I have this plant, and I think Julie's probably aware of it. It's called Cupnea ignea. It's like a candy corn cigar plant. Now I've had the vining and the non-vining, and I've had these for years. I have about 20 other plants on my deck for the hummingbirds, and something's destroying them. They're not even eating them. It's not. It can't be a deer because it's not like chomping all the other plants. So I have tried chicken grit on there because in case it's a squirrel. I put mint and garlic and chives and lavender plants in there, in the plants or around them, and coffee grounds. Nothing has deterred these creatures, and I don't know what to say because they're just destroying them. The flowers are still on the top of the soil, and they just chew it, and that was it. They don't do anything. And I've had these for years. This is like the first time. I mean, the hummingbirds love them. Now, I know I can't spray them with something because I did my research, and you can't do that because it will hurt the hummingbirds. Any idea what is going on?
So when you say they're chomping the plants, are they eating, are the leaves like just...
They're just laying there on the ground in the planter.
Okay, so the leaves are falling off.
Yeah, and the little flowers, a little candy corn type little flower.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are falling off too.
Yeah, because they sort of destroy everything. And someone mentioned chicken wire. Now I'm not sure if the hummingbirds can
eat. Yeah, they couldn't be. I don't think they could get through that.
No.
It sounds so. The leaves are falling off. The flowers are falling off. And the stems are green still, or they're drying up?
Well, some of them are all the way to the ground, to the
bottom. Okay,
so
they're getting eaten. Something's eating the whole plant down to the ground.
And they're not even eating it because literally I have a handful of the flowers.
Okay.
You know.
Sure.
They're just destroying them.
I think actually, I'm not really sure what it is because you talked about squirrels. Squirrels are usually digging in containers right now. They're burying whatever. And they're, you know, digging up plants and things like that. My first thought when you talked about destroying it, I thought of sawflies, which have been out. This is the season for that. But that doesn't sound like it either. If everything's dropping off the plant and the plant is getting chewed down to the ground or getting reduced down in size, it's, it would have to be something feeding on it. I first thought maybe the plants were dying because you said the leaves and the flowers were just laying on the soil. I think one thing you could do is you could send some pictures of it. That would be really helpful to ask a master gardener. So this is a tool that's on our extension site, and that's at extension.umn.edu. Go to Yard and Garden and take some pictures. And I think you can send up to 3 photos. Type in, you know, whatever descriptions like you've given me. And we have master gardeners who volunteer to answer those questions, try to research those and answer those for people. That's probably the best thing to do at this point because it sounds like you've exhausted a lot of the other things that might happen. And what we don't want you to do is try to spray something unnecessarily. A, yes, it could harm the birds or deter them from feeding. And B, it may not even be what's applicable. You need to find out what the pest is. And so I think that might be the best thing to do. The other thing you could do is hook up a camera to the to outside and see if you can catch the pest in motion.
In action.
So, yeah, in action.
Good luck, Judy. Thank you very much for the call. And Julie, I want to talk a little bit more about what we mentioned during the break about all of the many tools on the Extension Service website that people can use to either identify a plant that they don't know what it is or to learn how to properly... You explain it.
Okay.
You mentioned a few of them, and they were so interesting. Go ahead.
Sure. So Yard and Garden News, or Yard and Garden, is our website at the University of Minnesota Extension that deals with all things yards and gardens, plants, landscaping, house plants, trees and shrubs, fruits, vegetables, also turf and lawn. We have a good section on that, and weeds. And so we were talking about bellflower earlier, and some people say that they have a bellflower that they love. And the important thing is it really the bellflower we're talking about, the creeping bellflower, which is a campanula, or is it another type of flower with a common name like bellflower? So we have weeds pages that are pretty comprehensive. We updated these a couple years ago, and we've included things like the cultural significance of a plant, also the ways to change the culture, that, in other words, the way you manage your landscape, to help eliminate or reduce the amount of that weed in your landscape. And then ultimately, if you do find the need for some kind of a chemical application, we give recommendations there too. And this has been important because some of the plants that people call, and I'm doing air quotes, weeds, have been found to be really beneficial for pollinators like white Dutch clover. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, I don't want that on my lawn. But it's a really beneficial plant for pollinators. So some people don't see it as a weed. So we've included that information in that page on white Dutch clover, too.
Yeah.
We also have a plant selection program called the Plant Elements of Design. And it is a program where you can plug in the conditions that you have, your amount of light that you're, you know, if you're looking for a plant for a part shade site, if you have, you know, clay soil. If you've if you only have a space for a 4x4 plant, 4 feet high, 4 feet wide, what kinds of features of the plant, characteristics that you're looking for, you can put all of those into this database. And we have a couple thousand plants in this database, and you can enter that, hit search, and any and all plants that match that criteria will come up.
So helpful.
A lot of photos for people to look at, too, so they get an idea of, you know, what we're talking about.
Yep. I'm going to have to visit that for sure. Let's get back to our text line. I promised we'd answer some questions. And here's the first one. I pulled out some phlox. They were spreading like crazy. If my memory serves me right, there are phlox that do not spread. Can you suggest any?
Oh, no.
No? Okay.
Not off the top of my head. But that might be something to look up, phlox in the Plant Elements of Design. And it may have some. We have notes in the sections.
Yeah.
And it may say it doesn't spread by seed. You're looking for something that's sterile.
Mm-hmm.
Basically doesn't have seed, produce seed.
Okay. Is it bad to have landscape fabric around hostas?
Well, landscape fabric has a couple of benefits. If you have a rock mulch, for example, you definitely want landscape fabric underneath it because you don't want that rock working its way down into the soil. But if you have wood mulch, you really don't need that fabric. And the reason for that is because that wood mulch breaks down and adds carbon to oftentimes carbon-poor soils. So that's a benefit of wood mulch. You do have to replace wood mulch, but you don't need to put that fabric under it. The other thing about that fabric is when we get rains like we had yesterday, those deluge rains, oftentimes it will wash that mulch right off that fabric into your sidewalk or your grass or something. So it's really not needed for that. It's an added expense and work. It also can make it difficult if you're planting because you have to cut through that fabric.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have rock or if you have some other inorganic type of mulch, that's a really important thing to put down is that fabric.
Yeah, we just did that a couple of weeks ago. We put down some new rock on our little patio in the back. And
perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain, but it's so worth it when you don't have the weeds popping up.
Right.
Yeah. All right, back to the text line. Can I still trim my yews, or does that need to wait until the fall?
This is a good time to trim your yews because your yews are actively growing. We do have an excellent page on pruning trees and shrubs that's on our yard and garden page. So I would suggest reading that. There's a section on evergreens. And we want to stop pruning plants around middle of August. And the reason for that is when you prune a plant, it promotes new growth in that place where you made the cut. And the we don't want new growth going into the fall because we often have an early freeze, and we can kill that new growth really easily with a hard freeze in September, for example. So we want to give the plant enough time to recover from that pruning as it goes into the upcoming winter. And I hate to talk about winter now, on the first day of summer, pretty much. So sorry.
It's coming. We all know.
Think about it.
Exactly. We're taking your calls and texts for Julie Weisenhorn on Smart Gardens this morning. 651-461-9226. It's 8:30 on CCO. We have some more questions in the queue talking about trimming dead branches, lilacs, you name it. Give us a call. We'll be back in a moment on CCO. And welcome back. It's 8:34 on WCCO. I'm Laura Oakes. You're listening to Smart Gardens. And our expert in studio today is retired University of Minnesota Extension educator Julie Weisenhorn. Lots and lots of questions on our text line this morning. I promised we'd answer a few right off the bat. The first one, Julie, has to do with trimming dead branches from my oak and ash trees. Can I do that now or should I wait until winter?
So the oak trees should not be pruned between April 1st and mid-July. So this is the high-risk time for the spread of oak wilt, which is a completely fatal, debilitating disease of oaks. A low-risk time is after July 15th to about November 1st. So that's if you really have to prune them, you can during that time. But the best time to prune an oak is in the winter when the plant is dormant and there's no risk of oak.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Oat Wilk of Oat. Of oak wilt.
Or
happening.
Oak milk.
Yeah, there's that too.
Oak milk.
Yeah. So that's the best time to prune is in the winter. So if you can wait to prune your oak till winter. You can also see the plant better because it's not leafed out. That helps too with branching. As far as the ash goes, that you can prune now. In all cases, when you're pruning a plant, especially a large tree, please contact a certified arborist, because there's a lot of like issues that can happen, damage to the tree, damage to you, personal injury. Sometimes we think we can crawl up a ladder with a chainsaw, and actually that's when most accidents happen. So the best thing to do is call a certified arborist. You can find a list of that or a website where you can plug in your zip code and find one. And that is on our trees and shrubs section on how to contact a tree professional is the name of the page. So you can do that. Sometimes cities have an arborist who can come out and take a look too. And particularly with the ash tree, because we have an awful lot of emerald ash borer damage. And you want to know that, you know, how healthy is your ash tree? Is it worth saving? Is it something that you want to take down and replant something different? So there's a lot of questions there. And arborists, we are so fortunate in Minnesota to have a great arborist community here of really talented, certified people.
Okay, wonderful. My lilac bushes have woody vines growing through them. What is it, and how can I keep it from happening?
I can't tell you what it is because I can't see it, but it might be wild grape. It could also be a plant like a, it could be some other type of a shrub that looks viney, like a exotic honeysuckle, for example. It's probably wild grape. That's a pretty common native plant in Minnesota. You want to find the end of that in the ground and either pull it out, dig it out. That would be a good thing to do. That might be difficult with the lilacs because they kind of have pretty dense root areas. You can also cut it back and then take a little bit of a brush killer type of chemical and just dab it on. You can buy those sponge paint brushes that are disposable. Dab it on that stump to help it help, you know, get that plant to kill that plant to prevent it from regrowing. So you're going to have to just climb into that plant, pull it out, find the root, and then treat that root or dig it out.
Got it. 838 on WCCO. If you have a question for our master gardener, Julie Weisenhorn, give us a call or a text, 651-461-9226. Back to the text line. I bought a petunia hanging basket that was in full bloom. I put it in a partly shady location and it stopped blooming. I moved it to a full sunspot, but it is not rebooting. What can I do to get it blooming again?
It may be that that plant has gone through its first flush of bloom. They oftentimes, greenhouses will really, you know, try to have those plants looking the best when you go to buy them. It may start reblooming again. You can pinch it back also, which means you kind of take the long, if you've got kind of long branches or stems, you can kind of bring them back and snip them off. That would bush out the plant a little more. But it may simply need a shot as fertilizer also. So you can use just a 10-10-10 fertilizer or something that maybe has a center number. That's our phosphorus number. That's kind of the bloom number. A higher number is usually what you find in bloom buster type of fertilizers. So you might want to do that. Read the label. Usually we recommend about half the strength recommended just so you don't burn the roots, which is really entirely possible in a basket like
that. Another fertilizer-related question. Is it okay to use Miracle-Gro designated for tomatoes also on rhubarb? And welcome back, Julie.
Hello. Thank you. I think it would probably be fine. Rhubarb is a big feeder, and so I'm glad that you're actually thinking about fertilizing it. We often just kind of leave it to do its own thing and pick all its leaves off and eat it and let it go. So it does need fertilizer. It has a big root system, and we need to get it healthy so that next year we'll produce those even, you know, bigger leaves and petioles that we eat the petiole part. So I think you could probably do that. Probably use the same thing. They're both huge feeder plants, so probably be pretty appropriate.
How often would you recommend fertilizing like potted plants or things like rhubarb or tomatoes or something in a raised bed?
So plants that are in a raised bed or a confined area, they need fertilizer more often.
Okay.
They also need to be flushed out too, because those fertilizers are salts and they can collect in that soil. So you want to flush it with clean water, particularly if it's dry. If we've had a real dry streak, you want to really water and saturate that soil and then use your fertilizer. It's a lot easier on the roots of the plants. If your plants are in a garden setting in the ground, they have more room and more soil and more nutrients to pull from. But you could also give them a shot about once a month or so. Containers a little bit more frequently. You can use a slow-release fertilizer as well, too. And
okay.
Put those pellets into a container, and that way every time you water, a little bit of that fertilizer dissolves into the soil.
Okay, great. A zinnia question and potentially a pest question here. I'm finding small holes in some of the leaves of my zinnia plants. Any idea what it could be? I can't find bugs crawling on the rest, and the rest of the plant looks healthy. What do you think?
Well, some of the plants, you always want to look on the underside of the leaves. So Laura Irish Hansen taught me that. And you can you want to flip those leaves over, look underside, and look for eggs, but also look for little larvae or worms. And you want to pick those off or remove them somehow. You don't need to spray anything. Just flick them into a bucket of water, soapy water, or pick them off and squish them, whatever your desire is. And same with those eggs, is just scrape them off. That's oftentimes what we're seeing right now, potato bugs and two-line plant bugs and things like that that are starting to feed on our plants. But always look on the underside because they like to hide in protected areas.
Okay. Apple tree question.
Oh, boy.
What can I spray my apple trees with now to stop blight?
Well, if you're seeing blight, it's too late. So
what is blight?
So blight is a disease that often affects and takes down the leaves of the plant. And I believe it's, is it a fungal or a bacterial disease? I have to look that one up. But it oftentimes debilitates the plant. It really looks bad. It drops its leaves. If you're seeing the signs of it already, and this is true of things like powdery mildew and other diseases, if you're already seeing the signs of that, then it's important to make a note of that, and next year before you see that sign or you just start to see the signs, the dropping leaves, spots on the leaves, powdery mildew, that's when you want to treat the plant. If you're already seeing that, it's too late to do that.
Mm.
What you can do is go to our website, check out our apples page. We have a pest management page that's really excellent and comprehensive. And you want to rake up all those leaves because that disease will remain in the soil and next year can, again, afflict your plant.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Take a look at the webpage, though. That'd probably be clearer.
Everything's on the webpage. I love that.
We shoot for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Can you still move or split hostas this time of year?
You can. Yeah. If you have to move them, you can certainly dig them up. Hostas are pretty resilient and you can divide them. The one thing about dividing them now is they are in their full glory and they're starting to bloom. So you are going to stress the plant if you do move them. If you don't need to move them now, that would be great, or at least not divide them.
Mm-hmm.
When you divide them this time of year too, they kind of look like a quarter of a plant or a half a plant. They have a flat side. And so it's better if you can wait until spring to do that, and then they have the whole season to really show off and get reestablished. But if you can move them now.
I'm going to follow up on that because I just dug up some hostas maybe 3 weeks ago for a yard project that we had done. I still haven't replanted them. I just have them kind of sitting in a bucket right now, and they're starting to leaf out and bloom. Can I still replant them and everything's going to be just fine?
Yeah, you can certainly replant them. I left a hosta in a bucket over the winter and planted it next spring, and
awesome.
It was great. So
easy. Indestructible hostas.
Not that that's always the case.
Right. Okay, Colorado blue spruce in my front yard that was planted 37 years ago when it was only 5 feet tall. Now it is huge. Can I trim back the branches to reshape it?
We're not really supposed to because it changes the form of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
If you remove branches, you can remove them underneath. Colorado blue spruce have an issue with needle cast disease, and they tend to drop their needles from the bottom up. And you'll start to see a lot of dead branches or bare branches on the bottom of that plant. So people will start to prune those out and prune those up. But you can trim them, but you want to be careful trimming evergreens because they have a natural, beautiful conical shape. And if we start to get fancy with our pruning, we'll start to lose that shape. They don't just grow back like a deciduous plant would. So be really careful with that and be selective. It goes back to planting a plant and choosing the right plant for the location. But those are very large, large trees. I'm glad it sounds like it's healthy. That's good. But, be careful with the pruning. and maybe take a look at the pruning page on evergreens.
Good, good advice. We're taking your calls and your texts for our extension educator, Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. A couple of great texts coming up that we'll get to after the break about mildew on our peonies and some hail damage to our potted flowers from the hail yesterday. Stay with us on CCO. Back in a moment. All right, 8:51 on WCCO. You're listening to Smart Gardens. My name is Laura Oakes, and we are joined by our expert, retired University of Minnesota Extension educator, Julie Weisenhorn. We have many, many texts to get through. We'll try to get as many as we can. And I promised that I would bring up the question about mildew on peony stems, Julie. This texter says she usually cuts them off, puts them in the trash, but if she sprayed the stems, would photosynthesis still be able to happen with that?
So the powdery mildew is kind of like what we were talking about before the break, and that's once you start to see the powdery mildew, that's when you have to apply a fungicide to that. We don't really recommend that. Powdery mildew is super common in our landscapes. Peonies are notorious, though there are some varieties cultivars of peonies that are more resistant than others. And there's research going on at the Arboretum, at the Horticulture Research Center, about in the peony collection, over 500 peony plants. And they study those and evaluate them for things like powdery mildew, upright form, bloom, color, all of these different things. It's a great, great, beautiful display. And you can see it from the road on County Road 13 and 82nd Street out at the corner of the Hort Research Center area. But that being said, powdery mildew is common. Peonies are often afflicted with it. Once you see it, you don't want to spray it. It's kind of too late at that point. So the best thing to do is you can spread the plants out. You might try moving them. That would happen in August if they become very compacted, creating a better airflow around them. That helps. Kind of be careful with your watering. Water at the root of the plant so that you're not getting a lot of water all over the plant. Powdery mildew actually is worse in not necessarily moist conditions, but in really restricted airflow conditions. Mm. And just humidity is an issue too. But again, they're very common on peony.
Okay. After excessive hail damage last night, lot of our potted flowers have damage. Is it okay to prune them back? Also, my zinnias look sad. Can we pinch them?
You can certainly pinch your zinnias. You can cut them back either with a snipper or, some kind of a pruner. A small snipper is really handy for that kind of thing. And as far as the plants that have been beat up by the hail, if the leaves are really shredded, yes, you could trim those off. But if there's just a hole here and there, then I would leave those there because they're still doing benefit for the plant. And I think that probably, again, just giving them a little extra care, they'll probably drop those leaves and then leaf out a little bit better. So if they're really bad, you may just want to replace them at this point.
Great. My bee balm is not blooming. They are about 3 feet tall with no blooms. Too many. How do I cull?
So bee balm, if it's the native bee balm, Monarda got myself into that one, didn't I? if it's a native bee balm and those are very tall, or if it's one of the cultivars, you can still be patient. Mine isn't blooming either, if that makes you feel any better. It's not blooming out at the foodscape yet, the native. So maybe just be patient at this point. We've had some really cool nights and cool days, and this is a very warm season plant. So that's also a plant that can be afflicted by powdery mildew too. Mm. So if you're looking for bee balm cultivars, look for those that are resistant to that powdery mildew.
All right, good advice. Thank you so much for all of your phone calls and texts this morning on Smart Gardens, such a popular show. We are so grateful for Julie's expertise this morning. And Julie, I wanted to ask you, too, about a pretty cool summertime event starting up at the Arboretum this week on Tuesday nights, pizza nights on the farm. How does that work?
So you mentioned the foodscape at the beginning of the show, and this is in the same location as a foodscape, so you can see the foodscape and also come out and hear some live music, and then go ahead and you can order a pizza online from our culinary team, and they'll have it ready for you. You can find that information at arb.umn.edu. And it's a lot of fun, great family event, just really casual. You don't even need to buy pizza. You can just come on out and hang out.
Right. And that's every Tuesday throughout the summer, starting this coming Tuesday from 5 to 8 at the Arboretum. And also, those of you who are well aware of Julie's many talents know that she is also...
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's...
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
A musician in this fabulous band called the Abiders that plays around town. Julie sings. I think I also saw you playing guitar. Yes. Your husband is in the band as well, and yeah, you guys have some performances coming up.
Right.
Tell us about that.
We are going to be at Everly Farms on the 24th. And playing up there, it's Imitatrista. We'll be at the Hallberg Center for the Arts in Wyoming, Minnesota, for a singer-songwriter series. And then also we'll be at a Master Gardener event on the 26th. But we'll be at Pete's on the Farm in July and in August, and you can find that schedule online at arb.umm.edu.
And tell me about your music.
Well, it's kind of a country blues. There's the term Americana that pops up every now and then. But I write the music, and the guys kind of go along for the ride. So it's a lot of fun.
Very nice. Multi-talented. Thanks again for all of your great expertise this morning, Julie. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Sounds good.
Yep. And every week from 8 to 9 a.m., we have Smart Gardens with one of our fabulous experts from the University of Minnesota Extension Service. It's 8:57 on CCO. Beautiful day today. Sunny, 76 degrees, down to 57 tonight. Another great day tomorrow, maybe a few more clouds in the picture, 75 degrees for Father's Day, more sunshine, 78 on Monday, and then maybe a chance for some showers, which by then maybe we will need on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Stay with us. It's time for the Home Improvement Show with Andy Lindis coming up.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's...
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Roll Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a My Lowe's Rewards or a My Lowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.